Well, we're teaching on the series concerning tongues. It's really the door to the supernatural. And it really is. It is the door to the supernatural. There's one thing as I've talked about, you know, as been, you know, studying and looking at this. You know, we have what we call in the church world, and when I'm talking about that, I mean, the Christian, people who really believe you need to be born again, that have, you know, you have to have faith in Jesus Christ, confessing Jesus as Lord to be born again. That's the church. Now, there's millions of people in buildings, but they call churches, but it's not the church. It's not the church of Jesus Christ. So when we're talking about this, we need to understand, even so, the majority of the church world, people who's born again, they don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking other tongues. Therefore, they don't believe in the signs that follow them that believe. Because they're supernatural signs. You don't go to those churches and find them, you know, talking about those signs and doing those things. They don't do that. You know, now they do believe they'll be born again. You know, you're supposed to live a good life and things, and they'll teach things like that. But the supernatural is something stayed away from. Yet people are, those same people are constantly praying for a miracle to happen. They need help at something. Yet they don't believe in it. They don't believe in the supernatural. And it causes a lot of problems for them. You know, I remember as a kid growing up in a church, and, you know, they believed in Jesus, you know, they were born again. But and they would want things, you know, things would happen, and they want, you know, and they'd talk about praying about. But, you know, well, the bottom line was this, is if things don't work out, well, God had a reason for not doing it. So you couldn't really trust God in anything. And you need to understand this. You will never go into a church who doesn't believe in a supernatural side will ever believe you could have every one of your prayers answered about you. Not about everybody else, but about you. They wouldn't believe that. You know, no, God makes me sick for a reason. He does this for this, that. That is part of that belief. Sad to say, there's many among the Spirit-filled because of poor teaching actually think the same thing. But following the Word, I want you to think about this. If we're going to look at today, we're going to talk about an area is things, because you hear things over time. To us, we may sit and say, you know, well, we believe in tongues and things, but do you know really why you believe in them? Just because you're filled with the Holy Ghost, do you really have knowledge in its use? Could you really explain to somebody else why the Bible says you should be filled with the Holy Ghost? So you need to be able to do that. You know, I find from both sides, you know, they have different reasons. You know, they'll say, well, you know, tongues is of the devil. People say things like that. Now, I never heard those things till after, you know, I came along more toward the Spirit-filled life when I got born again. I grew up in a church during the healing revivals in the 1950s. Now, those healing revivals that were going on, they were basically run by the Pentecostals. The Pentecostals were the ones, the Assemblies of God and different ones like that. They were the ones, people out of them were, had the big tents and all this kind of stuff going around the country holding this thing. These were Spirit-filled people. And yet in our church, they never talked about that. I never heard them talk about tongues. They never said anything. You know, I didn't even know it existed. I didn't know if it was good or bad because they never said nothing. They just didn't say anything about it. So I didn't grow up thinking it was good or it was bad. Now, many churches, ministers get up and say things, and they don't realize they see things in people that are unbiblical. And what happens is people don't grow up. Much of the church world, whether we like to hear it or not, and even among the Spirit-filled today, are not spiritually very educated at all concerning the Bible. They can't tell people. They don't even know where things are at. You know, over the years, I'd find this out. People have beliefs. And they'd say, well, I don't believe in that. This is what I believe. And I'd say, well, could you give me a scripture for that? Any person that's ever dead, I never had one time that a person ever gave me a scripture. Never one time. Oh, well, that what they heard is they heard somebody say things. And they heard somebody says the Bible says it. So they throw it out there. And you know what? I mean, I've had people who came to this church would do that, and I told them to knock it off. Because they believe certain things, and they would just throw it out there. And if you ask them about it, they knew nothing. They heard somebody say something. What they said may be right, but that don't mean, if you don't know it from the Word, you don't know it's right, you can't prove it. You have no place to stand in faith on it. You won't have much of a faith on it. So, you know, we don't want to do that. This is why, you know, we study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman who's not being ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Most Christians would be ashamed if you really tried to ask them and show them something. They'll be ashamed. They can't do it. You know, today, I mean, I can stand right in front. I don't have to be a genius. I can Google. I could stand right up in front of somebody and say, where was that scripture at? I can Google and give you the scripture. You know, we can do that. We don't even do it. We won't even bother. We need to know. We need to be able to address people because they have beliefs. And if we want, what's the purpose of it? You know, why do it? You know, people say, I got all the Holy Ghost that I need when I got born again. Well, I got born again and I didn't have all I need. And we're, as we go on, we'll teach about it here. But you know, one of the things that they taught and I heard said after I got spirit filled and that stuff, I heard some people say, I heard a minister and stuff say this, well, you know, tongues have ceased. And we won't look at that day today. Tongues have ceased. Well, they have a place in scripture that they say, but it is completely out of context of what's written. Now they make a statement, but we need to look at it because people have that. Are we supposed to have it today? Is it gone? Because, you know, you have people saying that. I mean, I can turn on, you know, radio. I can turn on TV. There's ministers on there and they'll speak against it. They'll talk against these. You don't need, you know. I remember Kenneth Hagin talk about the thing. This guy, he got over going and visiting the Pentecostal churches because they believed in healing and he had believed in healing because he was among the Southern Baptists. They didn't believe in healing. So the Baptists didn't believe it. He would go over there because he said, I had fellowship around something that had faith. And he said, I just didn't pay much attention to the tongues, see, because the tongues, that wasn't, you know, that tongues, you know, he thought was, well, from what he was taught, that was, you know, a radical thing. But he said that this guy who was a seminary graduate and a teacher in the denomination that he was with would always come to him and say, now you be careful around those Pentecostals that speaking in tongues is of the devil. And one day he said this to Kenneth Hagin, he said, don't hang around those people that, you know, you be careful that tongues is of the devil. He said, I'll admit they live better lives than us, but you watch that tongues is of the devil. And Kenneth said, And I understand, he's only about 19, 20 years old around in his areas. And he said, I thought, they got something from the devil that causes them to live a better life? Now, let's say this today. There's a lot of spirit-filled people live lousy lives. You know, if you get some, there's one thing, see, when I came into the kingdom, I came into the kingdom through sound teaching. Got filled with the Spirit through sound teaching. And you know what? It led me to live a better life. The reason we have so many flaky, Spirit-filled people today is because they're untaught. They go to churches. It's more about excitement. Let me just say this. You know, we want to worship God. But I'm going to tell you what. People don't get revived and their lives really change just because of worship. It's like very prominent revivalist, and he made this statement. He said, there's no revivals came out of great worship services. Worship and stuff is good, but everything has its place in what it does with God. And as we need to understand this, you know, I have some people, well, you know, we worship a God like, I've been around people who love to worship and sing and stuff like that and are just dumb as a stick spiritually. They don't know nothing. They're not word taught. You know, as we need to understand this today, most churches that you'll go to today on a Sunday where most people only go on Sunday. And they will go on a Sunday and it's mostly all geared to worship and almost no teaching and nobody ever grows up. And they say, oh, we go and worship like we did a great thing of worshiping God. Well, you can sing to God all day. But if you ain't got the word, the devil will attack you and carry you off. Amen. I believe in worshiping God. And I believe in worshiping more than just on a Sunday, but I'm going to tell you what. I spend time in the Word. I want to know because I don't know God through worship. Amen. I don't know God. Now, I'm not knocking worship. I like to worship God. I enjoy worshiping God. But people need to get over in their thoughts and their thinking right because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So people must be taught. We can't go any further. Just think from a natural education. What if we only taught, you went to school, to regular school, to 12th grade, and all you were taught was first grade material? What do you think gonna happen at the end of it? There's people been 40 years in a church, and they call it a good church, and they've been in first grade for the 40 years. And they go there and sing songs, you know, they might really love God, but they love God like a little baby. Like they need God because they can't do a darn thing themselves. They can't move God. He has to always go and move them. You know, it's like a little children, you know. They can't, this is what it becomes. Well, we want to go further than that, don't we?
Amen.
We want to go further. And so this is what we're looking at. We want to look at this today because we're going to look over in to 1 Corinthians the 13th chapter, because there's scripture there that these people use, and we're going to read these scripture. Is they say, well, you know, tongues have ceased, you know, tongues isn't around anymore. Well, let's look at it, and we're going to talk about this because one of the things that you will find, and a lot of people do, you know, from a teacher, there's a difference between preaching and teaching. You know, a preacher will get up, give one scripture and expound. But I'm going to tell you what, if you're going to listen to just preachers pretty much, you better get to the Bible. Because there's a lot of preachers over the time have said a lot of things that ain't scripture. You best go back. Now that there's some great preachers. I mean, I'll tell you what, I like a good preacher. You know, ain't nothing getting inspired by a guy. I said, boy, I'll tell you, get the anointing of the Holy Ghost and preach. You know, I like the guys that can spit about 10 rows. You know, you get them, they get inspired, they get going. But I'll tell you, I've seen guys spit 10 rows and give more unbelief a little bit. Gave their ideas in their thing. And you don't want that. Hallelujah. But, you know, you get a good preacher who knows the Word of God. God will inspire him, and I'm going to tell you what, it's just good. I mean, it'll fire you up on the inside. And so you want to have that. There's one thing, as I remember Keith Moore would do that. He taught us in Bible school. He said, you teachers out there, he said, you need to learn to yield to the preaching ministry, because sometimes God will use that on you. You'll teach up to a certain point, and God will put the preach on you. And I have that happen every once in a while. The preach gets on me. And you do that, and he said, it can bring across the points that you're bringing in the Word. But it's about the Word. And Keith used to do that, and he would do it, show us how it's done. And he would teach, and he'd go along and teach, and he'd finish up at the end, and he'd go into preaching. And it would be really good. I mean, it was really inspiring when he'd do that. He would like take that there teaching that you thought was good and just like give you a shot, you know, just, wow, that was a good one. And, so we need that thing, but we need to understand lots of times in preaching, we're not going down through the Word. In teaching is explaining. And we don't have that. We have too much even from teaching as a scripture here, a scripture there, and things are out of context. And many things get said, and people really don't know the context of what things are said. Sometimes the preacher knows, but he's not saying it, what he knows. He's taking part of it. And so people get misconstrued ideas about stuff. And we're going to look at a scripture that people take completely out of its context. In fact, I can tell you this. It's over 30 years ago, the Lord spoke this to me. It's over 30 years now. Said to me this one time, he said, when you read the scriptures and you look into the scriptures in the New Testament, he said, the letters to the church, he said, they are not in chapters and verses. He said, you read them like it's a letter written to you of what's trying to say. Well, he told me to do that. So I started doing that. And I started that practice, and I do that practice today. God will give me a scripture about something, and I'll sit down and read it in its context. I don't just, that scripture. What does it say before and what does it say after? What's it talking about? I want to know. See, I have a job to do. You know, I was thinking about, the last song here today. One of the things it says, you know, I'll give you my heart, I give you my soul, I'll live. Well, you know, you don't have to give your heart to God. You already did that.
That's right.
That'd be good for the sinner. And your soul, if he give it to him, he's going to give it back to you. Why? It's your job to renew your mind. It's your job. Now, I'm not just doing to criticize, but see, we have a lot of things, if you don't teach outright, people do, and we worship, and you know, people get teary-eyed in unbelief. You know, your soul, you're the one renewed. You renew your mind. You're the one. See, if your emotions and that thing which is your in your soul, if they're messed up, it's because your mind's not renewed. We renew our mind. What we're told to do, present our bodies. We should have been about singing about giving our bodies to Him. Lord, I tell you what, I'm going to give you my body. I'm going to commit it to you. That's our problem. We're trying to give something we can't give because if you have to give your body, that's work. And God, take my soul. I don't want to waste the time to have to try to renew it. You see, we're teaching where you put things in their context. Well, you wouldn't know that if you just jump in here on this thing. If you just hear what that says, if you don't read it and look through what the Bible says. You have to know things. We have too many worship people don't know a thing about the Bible. You know what? And they're born again. You know what? They want to worship. They love God. But you know, it'd be good. Let's say God gave me this song. Well, if He did, He would have had the Word in it. It would have been in line with the Word. He didn't give you a song that you can't prove out through Scripture. You see, understand this. There are more people who follow worship songs as doctrine than they do the Bible. Oh, yeah. Now, understand this. This is one of the power of concerning singing and songs. This is the power. When people couldn't read and write generally, that's what the church used. They used, through music, they would turn around. You're supposed to put your scriptures together. You could sing doctrine. People could remember it that way. They would remember doctrine. And if a church had bad doctrine and they wrote songs, it was bad doctrine going out there that people had. See, this is where music's powerful. That's why I just don't run to places and then people just call you and they have worshiping all these guys. They do these great stuff. There's so much stuff out here. Too many people, too gullible. They just, you know, they like the music. They're American Bandstand. That was on years ago. You know, I like the beat. I like this. I like that. That's what I like about that song. You know, this, that. Church is the same way. Spirit-filled people the same way. They like a song because, you know, that song sounds great. Well, there's loads of songs out here that over the years people have loved. And they're mostly unbelief. They're not right. But people love them, sing them. I want them in my church. And I know, yeah, let's get at it. You know, let's get things. Why? Because it's powerful. It's amazing how you put music to words and you can remember them. You can get a person that you talk to him and just gave him some scripture, told him to memorize it. They could hardly do it. You put it to music, and they'll know it in 10 minutes. It's a powerful thing. Well, I'm going to tell you, it does the same thing with unbelief. You keep singing the wrong thing. And it has a way of getting into it. Do you ever have a song come on to you that you've heard on and it just keeps going on? Do you ever have one you just want to shut up? How on earth does that thing keep going on in me? Let's turn that one off. See, that isn't my teacher today, but this is good stuff. But this does go with the fact. This is why we have to study. And we have to study to show ourselves approved. This is why we got to go into context of things and understand things. If you don't do that in your own personal study, and I'm just going to tell you, you have to learn to do that. You know, you have to learn to sit down. You know, if Paul told Timothy, you need to study to show yourself approved, then you need to study to show yourself approved. You're not just get up and, you know, well, I read the Bible in the morning. That ain't study. That's nice. God may show you some things, but you got to... You know, you could find something, get a wonderful thing that you call revelation, and you get, it's a part of a revelation. But if you don't study other stuff and see how it fits, you're going to be walking around with a half-truth telling everybody else like you know something when you don't know the whole truth. That's why we study. And it's so easy for us to study today. So easy. You know, when I started off, I had a ton of books. I'd sit down and have all these books, and I'm going through. Now, man, I go online, I get a hold of things so quick. It's just, if you don't study today, I'm just going to be, and it ain't going to be ugly. You're lazy. That's what it is. Because we have so much available. People say, I don't like computers. Well, a computer I can use to get closer to the Word of God and follow God, I'm going to love that thing. And if I stay away from them and then be lazy, well, that's the devil. Good preaching, Ed. We have the opportunity. We can get into things and go into stuff. It's amazing. I've learned so many wonderful things that I didn't know. See, I'm not a Greek scholar or a Hebrew scholar, but there are people who are. And I can go to their stuff and look at things and find out all they've learned. I can get and find out, oh my God, the Bible's better than I thought. Yeah. Hallelujah. When I see it say, yeah, they translated it to such and such, but here's, oh my God, when you see the meaning of that word, it's like, this thing's wonderful. This is really great. And so you need to do that. I mean, you ain't going to amount to anything else unless you take time to study it, to do it, spend time. You know, over the years, I've worked at places, learned jobs. I didn't learn them the first day I went in. But you know, we learn them by doing it.
Mm-hmm.
People need to understand this is how it works. Mm-hmm. You ain't gonna sit and listen to somebody else teach all the time and you get everything. That ain't gonna ever happen. Well, this is what I found out. The more I learned from Kenneth Hagin, the more I found out I need to study to find out things. I thought, this guy knows stuff that I don't know about. And I need to find out what this guy knows about. Because I like where he's going. And I like what he knows. And I want to know what he knows because he has better benefits than I get. So I want to know how he gets them. Glory to God. Well, in 1 Corinthians 13 chapter, let's go back there. In verse 8, it says this. I'm going to start into verse 8. We'll go back then from that, but it says, love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will be vanished away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am known. Now, they use this thing and they say, well, look at this, tongues have ceased. See, tongues have ceased. Well, why did tongues cease? Well, this is, I heard ministers say this more than one. They said, well, tongues have ceased, but, and that stuff because, you know, it says tongues have ceased. It says when the perfect come, they said the perfect is the Bible. Well, I had a little problem with that because number one, the Old Testament we already had. And they had that. The New Testament, the Apostle Paul wrote the other letters. He wrote over half the letters we have in the New Testament. He did. Well, then, he had the perfect. What's he talking about in being in part? If the perfect, he's the guy that wrote the New Testament, and if we got his writings and he said we're in part, he's saying concerning himself, we know in part. Well, he didn't know the perfect came. See, these people don't reason out and think. They think when these guys put the Bible together, then we got the perfect. Well, if you read this thing, he's not talking about, if the word was perfect, these guys, we don't need them. Now, we need to understand, they completely pulled this out of context because, in other words, see, they don't believe in prophecy either, but they do believe in having knowledge. Well, if knowledge has ceased, well then, what are we teaching for and what are we... Has knowledge ceased? Well, knowledge has ceased. Is number one, I want you to understand this. Personally, in there, when he's talking about knowledge, I don't think he's talking generally about knowledge of the word. Because we need to understand the context of the writings. Is number one, I can understand these people's biblical unbelief. Number one, they never teach 1 Corinthians the 12th chapter, and they never teach 1 Corinthians the 14th chapter. So in other words, they're out, what they do is they go over and see, they say love's the most important. Shall I tell you what? I know people that love God and they walked in love were good people and they died way very prematurely. So love didn't get them healed, did it? See, love says faith works by love, but you got to have faith. It don't say just love itself will take care of things. You see, we get really squirrely. Now, number one, it says love never fails. We need to understand this, that God is love. God does not have love. Love is something that was given to you and I, shed abroad in our hearts, But God is love. That's His nature. That's what He is. See, you need to understand different. God's not trying to love. He never tries to love. That's what He is. That's what God is. And so, when we talk about this, it starts off, love never fails. Well, in other words, I think it's wonderful. God will never fail me. God can't fail. So as long as we hook up with Him, we ain't going to fail at this. He's talking about things that fail when the perfect comes. Now, I want you to understand this because we go to the context of what he's writing. In 1 Corinthians 12 chapter, Paul began a subject talking about the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And he talks about what we use the term gifts. And if you look up, those words are not gifts that somebody gives you now that belongs to you. That's not what that means. In fact, in the beginning of opening on 12th, it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. That word gifts is added. That wasn't in the writings. Man added the word gifts. That's what people called them. Now, in other words, and he goes on to talking about manifestations of the Spirit. These are how the Spirit manifests Himself. These are manifestations. In other words, the Holy Ghost that's in you and the Holy Ghost that's on you, if you're spilled, will manifest in certain ways. The Holy Spirit in me, when I got born again, He began to manifest in certain ways. He began to manifest to me as a teacher. He began to manifest to me in certain ways. Then there's the anointing of the Holy Spirit on me. When I got filled with the Holy Ghost, He began to manifest in other ways through gifts. Things and stuff would start to operate through me and that stuff because of the Spirit on me. And so, we need to understand this. So he writes about 9 gifts of the Spirit. Now, so this is that they don't believe that those exist today. They must, because it says tongues and interpretation of tongues, and it goes on with them. But it starts off with tongues. Tongues is the first gift. So they don't believe that we don't need those gifts. So they don't teach. They don't teach those things. See, we don't need them. We don't need prophecy. It's funny. When they get sick, they pray for, they'll say, well, we're going to take prayer requests. You know, they don't lay hands on people and that stuff. We just take prayer requests. Well, why would you take prayer? God don't heal. You don't believe in gifts. I mean, why would you, what are you doing? You know, I cornered a bunch of guys from a church who used to knock me all the time when I worked at H.B. Reese Candy Company, and they used to make fun of me. So I was sitting at lunch one day, and a bunch of them, they came to the table to do their little thing, you know, and they do the healing tongues and all that kind of stuff. And so I just stopped them and I asked them. I knew it was by the Holy Ghost on me. The Holy Ghost will anoint you to talk to people. And it came on me, and I just turned around and asked him. I said, do you people ever pray for the sick in your church? Do you take prayer requests? Yeah. Well, I said, do you believe God's going to heal them? Well, we pray to God. I said, the Bible says whatever is of faith is sin. I said, your church is full of sin. You guys are full. You pray and ask God, don't even believe He's going to do it. And they all just sat there. And I want to say, I said, your church is a sin church. Faithless. Sit around and talk about a God who can't do nothing and you don't even expect Him to do nothing. You're just going through your little shenanigans calling a church. We worship a lazy God that don't do anything. He's all talk and no do. You never know what God's going to do. Well, why don't you read the Bible sometime? It tells you what He does. And it tells me what I do. I lay hands on the sick and they recover. That's what it says. You know, it's just, but see, those things are there. But see, if people aren't taught. See, they say, well, tongues will cease. Well, he's talking here about gifts and manifestations that are going on. And see, number one, they don't teach that. And this is what you need to do. When people say that, we'll say, go back over. God said, these are the gifts. Paul said, these are the manifestations in the church. These are how God manifests Himself. Tongues is one of them. Oh, because see, people say tongues are the devil. If tongues was of the devil, then Paul had to be of the devil. God changes not. So you've got to take people to script. You've got to take people, say, hold it. They got to believe because somebody said something that wasn't scriptural. And they have no scripture for where they stand. As I've asked, I remember when I first got saved, I'd ask different people because I knew they had certain beliefs and they'd say they believe this or that. And I'd say, well, why do you believe that? Well, the Bible says that. Could you please show me the scripture for that? I want to see it. I did that to my parents because they had certain, well, the Bible says, I'd say, well, could you show me the scripture? My parents never one time could show me scriptures of things when I'd ask them about it. I knew they couldn't. Well, I know what's in there. I'd say, no, it's not. I'd say, no, it's not. That ain't in the Bible. And I'd say, hey, I'll give you a concordance that has every word that's in the Bible, and you can look it up, find out what, and you'll find those words ain't in the Bible. But you know what they, well, I know it's here. You know, they've heard it and heard it and heard it, and they change not. I've done this all the time. I've had people sit under my teaching, and I've said certain things 1,000 times and showed them in scriptures and preached it in scripture, and they still don't believe it. They'll still say other things. I can tell you why. They never go there themselves. They never go there themselves. They have a way of believing. See, I found out sometimes getting ways that we believe out of us can be a struggle. Most people just add teaching upon teaching and say, oh, I see that, yeah, that area is wrong. But they never really get rid of that. They still keep a seed of it down there so it can still keep producing a little bit of fruit every once in a while. And it keeps them going over in a dynamic faith in an area. They can't get there. You see, it isn't just about growing things. It's about pulling weeds too. Pulling weeds. I'll tell you, I had to pull a lot of weeds out of my mind when I got born again. My mind, my thinking had a lot of weeds that I was taught over the years about God. Stuff that I had gotten away, didn't even pay no attention. But when I got saved, I got looking back over God things. And those thoughts of those things come back. And I had to, whoa, hold it, hold it. I got to get rid of this stuff. This stuff's hindering me. Some of those things sometimes will be a hard thing. Well, these people are taught this. We need to be able to approach them and take them over. Now, we want to look at that. Paul talks about the perfect that comes. And he says this. That then that which is in part, he said, will be done away with. There's what's in part. He said, you know, concerning, he made mention about prophecy in part. This is one thing I was glad to learn from Kenneth Hagin, because, you know, a lot of people get a fear, especially spirit-filled people, get a fear about talking in tongues and, speaking in tongues with the gift of tongues and in interpretation and in prophecy. People get afraid, well, what if I bring out and something is wrong and it's not right? Just, I want you to understand this. Nobody is perfect at this. There is not one and never will be one. Kenneth Hagin, he really helped me when I was a young Christian, because God used me. When I was a young Christian, God started to use me in that way. And I was very cautious. You know, I was too cautious at first. I wouldn't say anything. I wouldn't yield to something. And the first time God put me on the spot was I was in a service with about 1,000 people in a church. And a guy spoke in tongues, and I had the interpretation, and I just sat there, and the pastor got up and said, you know, there's somebody there that has that interpretation. Now, he may have been able to do it, but he must have known God was working. I'm sitting there, and I knew it. I had the interpretation. But, you know, standing up in front of all these people and saying this thing, you know, I'm born again about a year. And saying this, and I knew that I had it. And you know what? He would not let the service go. Finally, I stood up and gave it. But see, getting over myself on it is number one. You think about, well, am I going to mess up? I might do this. I don't know. Kenneth Hagin said this, of all the years that he operated the prophet's ministry, he said, all the gifts of the Spirit operate through. He said, the gifts are perfect, but there's no perfect people. There isn't any perfect people. He said, all of us are imperfect. And he said, nothing comes through us that's it's perfect. He said, we're limited in our knowledge and understanding. Even things, I find this happen. God shows me things. There's things that I know. I don't know how to explain them. I don't have the knowledge of how to explain it. But I know it. But I couldn't explain it to somebody. Why? I'm an imperfect vessel. You know, we're limited in areas. We're limited knowledge. And when God does things, when God reveals things, we pick things up. As I find out many times, I'll pick things up in the Spirit. And I pick it up. I get a sense of what God's saying. It ain't like a word-for-word thing. God's trying to bring it through a vessel. He has to operate according to how our knowledge and how we can operate. That's what he has to do. Is there anybody here, you know everything? If you do, we'll have an altar call for liars and get you saved quick. Because we don't want you to go to die today and go to hell. But we need to understand. And so it really helped me when he talked about that, because I realized I can operate in these gifts. God doesn't try to operate through me because I'm perfect at this. But it's amazing how he could use me to help people. Yes. I think, boy, in spite of me, it's amazing what he can do. Now, there's people get big-headed, God uses them, and they think that they're brilliant. Then you become worthless. I want to read to you, because if we're going to go over, Paul was talking about gifts of the Spirit in 12. He hasn't stopped. Verse 13. We say, well, this is the love chapter. He's talking about the things that make these gifts work. Love is a key to operating the best in these gifts. It's about you. I want you to read you over in chapter 13. Let's go back to verse 1. Let's read this. I want you to see this. Chapter 13, verse 1 says, though I speak with tongues of men and angels. See, this is one thing I said. See, sometimes we're speaking, we need to understand. We can, in tongues, you could speak tongues of men. God can operate there. Well, you could, there's people who've done that already. They spoke in languages they never knew. He said, and angels. In other words, these are heavenly languages. These ain't earthly languages. See, that's why I don't get understand these people. They don't read the Bible. They see these things and they just don't. They act like this is an exaggeration. Paul's teaching. He's talking to these people. Because these people know about this, speaking in tongues of men and angels. They do it. He said, of men and angels. But he said, I have not love. I have become a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, actually the word gift there isn't there, that's added. Though I have prophecy, he says, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods and feed, actually, you know, don't say feed the poor, just says the word feed. And I feed, he said, He goes on, and though I give my body to be burned, but I have not love, it profits me nothing. I want you to see this. You can operate. I've known ministers that do this. I asked the Lord about one time. This minister who was very carnal. He was very self-centered and doing a lot of stuff he did for himself and financially and money-wise. But gifts would operate through him and bless people. And I said, God, why is this? How come? Because see, this is what I was always told. See, God can't, if you know, ain't this perfect thing, God can't use you. The Lord said to me, I don't operate those gifts because of him. He said, people come to these services in faith. I do this for them. They're believing me, he's just a guy there in front. I'm using him. But you know what it did for him? It's the ending. It profited him nothing. And that man died, if he didn't repent of what he was doing, he might have went to heaven, but he would have gotten no reward for all that had took place. Because it wouldn't have profited him anything. Love does this. It'll profit you. I've watched people don't walk in love, yet they did things that blessed other people. The other person got blessed. We are just, if I want to minister, I want to bless me too. See, you can go over and it's about, see, love blesses everybody, is to bless everybody and everything. Even with you. It'll bless you. There's reward for you when you walk in love and do the will of God. You want to have it. If you're doing it for wrong motives and wrong principles. You see, they pulled all this out of context. When he's going over there and talking then about, he goes on to talk about what love is and he says it. And basically what Paul's saying, what Kenneth Hagin had said, imperfect vessels. We know in part. This stuff is operating. There's a time coming. You know, there's a day coming that we're not going to have to have. You know, you go up to heaven, nobody's going to be prophesying to you. When the perfect, there's a time coming. Understand, you're in this body. One day we're going to get the glorified body. And you know, if God would want to say something through us in the glorified body, you guarantee it's going to come out perfect. It ain't going to be something squirrely. It isn't going to be. And we need to understand this is what he's talking about. There is a time coming when this isn't necessary. But you're living in this earth. Paul said this, we see through a glass dimly. You need to understand, we need these manifestations of these gifts that God can operate as much as he can in the earth to bring light on this side where we're at right now. Why? Because on this side over here is not having the perfection of heaven. We need these manifestations. And if we don't have them, the majority of the church today and church people are very limited, and they ain't looking through the same glass Paul was looking through. They're looking through a much dimmer glass. Much dimmer. Why? Because they don't think they need these gifts for light. They don't think that. See, when we operate, when you and I walk in love, we're supposed to administer to people because we love them. We want to help them. It blesses us. It blesses everybody. It allows the light of God to come. It allows through these gifts, you know, even though we might be a foggy glass, at least light comes through. It's not boarded up. Much of Christianity is boarded up. They think we can have this light. They got a flashlight, and God has offered us a searchlight. And now I got my little flashlight. It's one of these little pen lights, you know, and they're walking around with it, and they're just walking around this thing to see, well, I got light. I got saved. That was like when I got saved. That's about what I had. It was a wonderful light. But I'm going to tell you, thank God for the light of God now. What came through because of what God was here. You need to notice. This is exactly why on the day of Pentecost, before Pentecost, Jesus said to the disciples, don't you leave till you get the power from on high. Why? It's light. It lets God's light into the earth. Don't you go minister till you get this. No. Everybody today, they get their little pen light and go out in the ministry. Thank God for the light that people have. But we want to bring more light. And this is about, if we love people. See, people are saying, well, you know, God speaking things through things. Don't this sort of seem crazy? I know what it is, why most people don't. It's their own arrogance and own things. Because, you know, I don't want to look foolish. And you know, I let the guy next to me die because I don't want to look foolish. I don't care. I let other people go under, but, you know, I don't want to look dumb. So, to who? God already thinks you're an idiot. So, and if God does, you know, that's the only one that counts. You see, this was written, and God wrote this and put this in here for us to see. This is why, you see why you want to read in context? See, if you pull in those scriptures out, see, it's just like people go over and teach on the areas of tongues. Well, what's he talking about this whole thing? See, tongues he's talking about was the manifestation of the gift of tongues in church, not people's personal tongues. They're speaking out. He said, hold it, you don't speak out. The tongues, the gift of tongues in operation is interpreted. And this is why he told them. He said, you know, prophecy, that there, blessed, because everybody can hear that is. He said tongues and interpretation, basically Paul said, was equal to prophecy. It's with this, because people then, it's spoken out what was said. Why? It's to edify the body. That's love. That wasn't love. He's trying to show them they weren't walking in love, operating in those gifts, because they're talking in tongues and they aren't blessing the rest of the body. You know, I'm doing my spiritual thing. And in turn, if you follow this teaching, it wasn't blessing their church either. It wasn't blessing them. See, when they walk in love, they do it, the interpretations, the body gets blessed, the body gets edified and built up. And see, when people operate, and this is what it's talking about, you don't want tongues to cease in our time. The reason they don't know nothing about it, they never teach chapter 12 and they never teach chapter 14, and they isolate chapter 13 and say, well, see, if you have love, you don't need anything else. You don't? Poor Jesus didn't know that. God don't know that. You need knowledge. I'm going to just tell you this. Because if you ain't got knowledge, you ain't got faith. Faith is founded upon knowledge. The knowledge of God's Word, that's how I believe. Faith comes by hearing the Word or having knowledge of the Word. That's how you get it. The Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, is called the Word. He's not called the love. He's called the Word. See, I can teach things that just make people nervous. You get over and teach the Bible, you start realizing how people don't know stuff. They pull one scripture here, one scripture for there, if that. No, Scripture, this stuff fits together. This makes a picture. This isn't 10 different puzzles. This is one. Christianity is one puzzle. And all the pieces fit together. And they work together. All the pieces. We have too much teaching. It's nothing but one picture here. One picture that people never know how they don't know how they fit together. Man, it all fits. See, this is why love fits in this. Love don't outdo faith. The 14th chapter opens up. Now there's, faith, hope, and love. He said the greatest is love, but it didn't say it's the greatest. Well, that makes the other two great. That means faith and hope are great. It's just love's the greatest out of the three, you know? And the church has been trying to live off of one and have gone nowhere. You see this? This is why sound teaching. We need to come back to have sound teaching. You know, that's one thing is I found when I went to Bible school. See, I listened. I had a lot of like Kenneth Hagin stuff teaching where he would teach series. So the subject was covered very well. It was covered. You know, you got a really big picture. And I found this, the average Christian that goes to church today in America, I don't care if they go to call a good church and it's spirit-filled and then they will get, you know, one teaching on one Sunday this and next Sunday it's complete. They go, nobody has, people don't go, you know, it was like with Keith Moore, they'll teach series, they'll do things, they'll teach enough to put something into somebody to cover subject. You need to understand about that. See, a teacher, this is, you know, you didn't go into school, they taught math one day and they never did again. But this is the church. The church is trying to keep the fleshly Christian happy. I'm sorry. It takes time to learn. I don't know any other way to do this. It takes time. Just sit down, learn subjects. So I'd sit and listen to Kenneth Hagin teach. When I went to Bible school, I was really shocked at how many people came to Bible school and how, like on subjects, how little. I mean, they come out of faith church, so-called faith church, even Raymond churches, how little they knew. And I started to realize they have it set under consistent teaching on a subject. And some of them, they had a lot of ideas. I mean, coming out of good, so-called good churches, had a lot of ideas. And listen to the teacher teaches. And I mean, they're going down through. If anything, a guy was precept, line upon line, precept upon precept. Keith Moore would do that in these classes. He really did Bible school teaching. It wasn't your Sunday service. It was Bible school teaching, and he's teaching like you do at a school. And so he would build through the Word. I was shocked how many times students would turn around and they'd get it. No, they didn't agree with him and what he was teaching. He had scripture after scripture. Well, I believe it's this way. And you'd ask them for one scripture. They'd tell you what one scripture said and what somebody else said about it. Yet he had built line upon line upon line upon line. I sit there and look at these people and say, oh man, you know. But see, people get taught. They're not used to doing that. And it's very hard. That's why, you know, when kids go in, you know, go into kindergarten, they don't put them through, you know, a whole bunch of stuff. Now by the time you're a senior, you know, you get about 10 minutes of teaching a day and you get out of school. And if you go further than that's because you've taken some other classes for something else. Because if you wait till the school to give it to you, you're in trouble. You know, they just don't go anywhere. And we need to understand. We all decide how far. Like we said, give God your soul. No, you got to start working on your soul. That's your job. You work on your soul. And you listen, sit down and listen to teaching, going over through the scriptures, sit down looking in scriptures for yourself. It's just like with these, when you read these things in their context, if you go through the 1 Corinthians 12 chapter and realize Paul's covering a subject through those three chapters. They broke them down into three chapters and we keep following chapter and verse that God did not put there. That is man. 100% man. And the reason they did that was for this purpose, for study. It's not you there to mark out things for you. It was put for study purposes because you wanted to look to a certain thing. You could find it in through, you could be directed to it. It wasn't so you read the Bible by a verse and a chapter, this or that. That wasn't what it's for. Many things in the scriptures, like if you go to my Bible, like Mike's Bible's laying over, they have all these headings in that stuff at different spots. Loads of those are wrong. Loads of them are wrong. And if you follow them and you read it by that, you'll never, if you don't read what's been going on before, you'll probably misunderstand what they were trying to say. So you got to look and see, what were they trying to say? What were they talking about? What was being said there? What was he, you know, you write a letter to somebody, you aren't jumping from thing to thing to thing, you know. You're going over, we need to find out a person. This is what the Lord told me. He said, do you think they had us try to sit around and try to figure out what Paul's trying to say? I said, no, no, sir, I doubt that. I said, boy, we have sure done that, haven't we, Lord? I've been doing it. I've been trying to figure out what Paul's got. And when I started reading like a letter, I was shocked at how much revelation I started getting. It's like, oh, this is what, well, this, he didn't change that subject there. Let's mark that thing out there. And if they put that thing, I don't belong here. There's more we ought to mark out of our Bible than write in. Sit down and read it. Understand this. The Lord said, these are the letters I gave you. So they're for you. Did I make them complete? Now look, he put the Holy Ghost in you to understand. So to say we don't understand it, you know what it means? We're idiots. We don't understand. We're not paying any attention to the Holy Spirit. We're not reading. What's going on? God's not a fool. The Lord told Kenneth Hagin this one time, and I liked it. He said, when somebody's teaching something and they said, it's just so complicated, it's just so hard to try to figure out, and they got all this, you guys hear people say, well, you know, this, I got this brilliant revelation and it's this far out thing and they're going and you're listening to it and they're, where in the heck? The Lord said this to him. He said, anything I ever gave to anybody is simple. It's easy to understand. And I found this out. You got to really teach on simple terms for educated people. Because their minds are always running where it should not go. They're always overthinking things. Always trying to get out beyond. God has to write to Ed simple. He has to write it simple so it's easy for me to understand. The Holy Ghost works just for me. He says it's simple. He said, because he wants Ed to understand it as much as the brilliant guy. But I found a lot of people brilliant. They're trying to come up with some kind of, you know, too many people overdo. Now, it's good to know things about the Greek and Hebrew, but many teachers go way out in the these people listening to somebody talk, can you imagine Paul writing those letters? Did he send a Greek scholar down there with him to, you can tell people, like, there's things that are good to bring up because, you know, an explanation on a certain word sometimes will really bring across to you, and it'll make that scripture stand out to you. That's nice. But you can go too far in that stuff. Way too far. You know. I'm not learning to read and write Greek. And you know what? Let me just say this to you. If anybody acts like they're a Greek scholar today with the Greek of the New Testament, they're a liar. It's a dead language. It don't even exist anymore. It's a dead, they call it a dead language. In other words, we generally look at what we know today about Greek to try to interpret things about what we're said. Nobody's perfect at this thing. Only a lot of people who think they are. There's number one, if you had to be this scholar, then I would never qualify to be a teacher. God couldn't have called me. See, it's like with you. You don't have to be a scholar. You have the Holy Ghost in you. I've had this happen to me many times, reading through Scripture, and the Holy Ghost said, this is what I'm talking about, and told me what he's talking about. And I thought, well, that don't seem to jive. You know, I'm not agreeing. And I got over looking at it and found out, well, that's what he was saying. The way they interpreted it wasn't exactly clear on the thing. But the Holy Ghost said to me, well, this is one of the things of studying. You know, you can study and find things out. You know, don't take what they call interpretation from Bible, from all these different Bibles. You know, there's loads of Bibles out here today that if you're reading, you're getting a lot of wrong ideas and things about it. You better think that you're writing. They have, what do they have a name for it. They call them a certain type of. What it is somebody else is translating what they think. No, they have a name for what they call these Bibles that you read. It's somebody's. Anyhow. So, but you need to understand, they'll completely leave things out. I've read through them and they left stuff and I look and well, hold it. No, that's in the original Greek. That's in there. They remove it out and do things. You need to be careful because if that becomes your reading, I tell you what, there's things that in some of those that I've read that if you're believing God in that direction, you're out of the will of God. God ain't moving in that direction. Somebody put it down. That's why you need to be careful. You know, that's why if you're a studier of the Word, and you'll know things. That's why, you know, I'm very careful because if I read a translation of what people say, it's just like translations. There's numbers of translations. They don't, where the word prophecy in the New Testament, it's probably called preaching. It's not prophecy. They don't believe in prophecy. So what they do, they change it according to their beliefs. So you reading those things and you're reading it, you be careful about it. This is why you study. See, we can't blame those guys, people for doing that. If we're reading it and hadn't checked it out, that's our fault because we didn't study to prove ourselves approved. We're at fault. See, I learned. I'm responsible. I'm responsible for what I take in spiritually, what I receive. I am. I'm responsible. Ain't no preacher responsible. I am. I have the choice to look to see if it's true. And so, you know, because there's people who preach. You know, and sometimes preacher may believe in something said this, or he preaches and says it. It may not be correct. He ain't being bad trying to do something. He just misguided on it. Well, don't go to misguided with him. That's why, like Brother Hagin said, if you go look up the Word. Don't take it because I just said it. You know, look up the Word. You'll see what the Bible says. And see, there's one thing, as I did years ago, I took 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, 13th and 14th, and read through them. And I was just amazed how much light I got about what God was trying to teach those people. Was trying to teach them. And I found out that I needed that teaching. See, they weren't just squirrely churches. People say, well, they were squirrely and messed up. But I found out they ain't no squirrelier than most of the churches today. And most even Spirit-filled people. They needed to hear, and we needed to hear the same thing. And why? It brought correction to me on the areas of truth. It brought correction that I could believe it. I could understand things about gifts, manifestations. Because if you understand those things, always is this. Manifestations of the Spirit operate specifically for this person. They operate through you to bless somebody else. Not you, not from your standpoint. You're the carrier. It's not to make you look good or whatever else it is. And you got to get over in that thing where you're walking right, you know, that it's a matter of blessing other people. That's why we do it. God uses us. My teaching gift is not for Ed. I don't learn through my teaching gift. I learn by studying like everybody else does. Now, when my teaching gift's in operation, it's amazing to me the stuff I learn. Why? It's a gift to God's people. But I'm going to tell you this. I've watched this. I've watched ministers and I've watched teachers that never learn a darn thing. Why? Because they're show-offs. They teach and stuff like they're a superior. No, I'm going to tell you what. I need to teach as much as anybody needs to teach. And if people found that out, we wouldn't have such lousy teaching going on sometimes. And how much they need to learn things. Understand this. Jesus said you're not going to go any further than your teacher. So this is why, you know, I need to learn things. I need to listen to teachers. I need to listen to people who teach. Jesus said, you're not going to go any further. I'm not an island to myself because I have a teaching. This is most people in the ministry. I'm sorry, I got great friends. They only listen to themselves. They're in the ministry, but they only ever listen to themselves. They never go sit down in meetings. Or they're always out ministering all the time, running around, ministering. But they don't ever go sit down and listen to teaching. They're not being taught. See, I know my need for this. I ain't no genius. I teach in part. I don't know everything. I can only teach the part of Revelations that I know. That's what I can teach. I knew this, that the majority of people teaching faith today know very little about faith. Because Kenneth Hagin said this, it takes at least 35 sessions to really cover faith in a very good way. That's just covered. I need to really get in and study more about it or anything. 35 sessions. I bet you the average Christian ain't heard no more than 4 or 5 teachings out of that 35 in their whole life. They're just, the minister comes back, just teaches the same thing over and over and over, but never adds to or ever shows it. Doesn't. It takes a lot. The average Christian don't know why their faith don't work. They're trying to believe for God. And it ain't a faith problem. They're believing right, but there's other things hampering and stopping it from working. There's sometimes people have a lack of knowledge. I remember one time, dear brother, I loved him, you know, good friends. But I saw this. He's dealing with an area, standing in faith. But I knew this. He wasn't hooked right. He had a part. And I tried to get to him on that part. I tell him, you know, you got this part over here, you're hooked on. But he wasn't seeing the whole thing. And for some reason, couldn't get him to see the whole thing that he needed to do to take a hold. And he ended up dying. Wonderful person, wonderful Christian. Looking forward to see him in heaven. But could not get him over to the place. You know, as I see this one part, and if I just get, and ministers do this all the time. It's like I was at one teaching session, and the guy that was teaching said this. He said, you ministers out there, he said, you just keep saying to people, they come to you, and he said, they say to you, well, I believe in God, why isn't this working? And he said, then the minister will say, well, you just need to trust God and believe God. He said, that ain't the problem. This is the thing they throw out, you just need to believe God. You just need to believe. Well, hold it. Lots of times people believe. He said, lots of times it's their dirty life. But you know what? You go to the average minister and he'll just keep throwing out that you just need to trust God. You know, they know what they told you? Nothing. Why? Because he don't know nothing. Faith ain't the only thing. We just found out if love, faith works by love. You might have over here, you're not walking in love in an area. You need to clean up. It's allowed the devil to do something. It isn't God. See, God never holds healing back from Ed. Never. It has never taken place. Ed does it. If it don't work, why? Ed, I've learned this. Okay, where am I missing it? I've done this numbers of times where I've stood on faith for something and it wasn't working. And I finally went to the Lord and said, Lord, this thing ain't working. I just know inside of me there's something don't click. Okay, where am I missing it? And I got a revelation where I was missing it. The reason people never find out, well, you know, I'm standing in faith. They will not listen and say, well, I could be missing it. My God, who'd ever think something like that happened? It'd shock me if I wasn't. But I found this all the time. This is why people don't get revelation. Number one, they don't stop and say, you know, Lord, I must be missing it somewhere. They don't. No, because that I can't admit that I'm old spiritual me. No, Lord, how come I miss it? What do I need to hook up over here? I know, there's something that I need. And you know what I found? Every time I've ever done that, I've gotten a revelation from him what it was. Every time. But you know what? I never got it till I stopped and asked. Why? He didn't say, I'm going to show you anyhow. He said, ask and you shall receive. If you didn't ask, you might be there for 20 years and then drop dead of the same problem and because you wouldn't stop and ask. You know, I don't expect a little baby to ask for food. We should have enough sense to feed them. But the 15-year-old, are we still going to chase them around all the time and they can ask. We need to know as Christians. You get to the point. God won't treat you. He ain't getting the bottle. He ain't warming the bottle for you every 2 hours. He ain't doing it. That's where most of Christianity are. That God's just going to take care of you. No, He's not. Ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be open unto you. What did we think those scriptures were for? They were nice dressing. Oh, that's so I can have a prayer life. When I ask for something, would you ever stop and ask why you're such an idiot? God, why am I so dumb in this area? What is wrong with me? Why do I keep missing it here, Lord? What do I keep? We don't come and honestly really want to know. No, Lord, let me just go through my fantasy thing about my great spirituality. Okay, I'm the only guy that ever did it. The rest of you are just so wonderful. But you know, sometimes you just got to get off your horse and get on your knees and say, dear Lord, I ain't leaving town till I figure out what's going on here. Because as you grow up some spiritually, you don't want to go to the place where God has to call you out. You don't want to do that. Because he will. He'll rebuke you if you keep letting it go. He'll come to place. He'll rebuke you. Thank God. He's had to rebuke me already. He's had to rebuke me. And I've learned how to repent. I've learned how to say, yes, God, I missed it. You're exactly right. Hallelujah. I messed up. And I'll tell you what, every time in his grace and love, he's always revealed to me. Once I repented, that's it. I could ask and receive. It works every time. He keeps trying to keep me from shooting myself in the foot. Too many Christians have a gun that holds 5,000 rounds and they just constantly shooting themselves and asking God to fix it. Why does the gun keep going off? My finger ain't on the trigger. Yes, it is. Oh! That's good preaching. Anyhow.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But we need to be able to talk to people and take to people these verses. Take them there. People want to know why. Did you go over here? Did you ever read this? I will guarantee you that anybody that says that has never read and studied the 12th and the 14th chapter and put that together, what Paul's talking about there. Paul's talking about manifestation, spirit, and love. Love is really the key to them working in their best. And if you're going to do the will of God, don't you want to be a prophet for it? You know, we're going to be judged by our works. You know, God can use you, but your works on your side are lousy. See, God can use, if God can talk through a donkey, don't think it's anything special. He said something through you. See, I gave that up a long time ago. God got a donkey to prophesy. So, I mean, dear Lord. What big deal is it with it? It's God. The gift's from God. It ain't from Ed. Hallelujah. All I had is, I just figured this out. The donkey was less prideful than Ed. That's all I can figure out. So God come along, and there's a man there, and he's a prophet. And God talks to the donkey, because he can't talk to the prophet. The prophet's stupid. The donkey can see angels, and the prophet can't. But you need to understand this. If not understanding these things is why we don't see manifestations of angels. It's why we don't see manifestations of things, is because of these. See, we put these things together. Hallelujah. We want, why do we want a move of God? Do we want a move of God in this earth because the liberals irritate us? We just want to get them changed. Why do I want a move of God? You know, many times it's not for love. And it's not for love of them. It's because I'm tired of them irritating me. Now, we got to be right about that. Look, why do I want it? You know, this person's a pain over here. You know, God, get rid of the pain. You know, get them fixed. There's people that ain't going to get fixed, but you're going to have to learn to walk in love. And you're going to have to love them and not retaliating against them all the time. And say, well, I never call them names. I just go tell other people how I can't stand them. Oh, my God, can this guy preach? I know, you guys don't. It's Ed. I'm just showing you all my shortfalls. And you know what? God still uses me.
Amen.
And you know why he does? Because I really realize this gift's not for me. I want you to have something. And God wants to give you something.
Amen.
That's what he wants to do. We want manifestations of the Spirit. But we need to tell people. We can't just go around telling people about tongues and that kind of stuff and not have any kind of, you need to be filled with the Spirit. Well, what does the Bible say about it? We're going to look in these things and we're going to go through them because we must know. We're coming in. See, when I came into the kingdom, you know, the charismatic renewal, this stuff was all going on. But people were talking a lot about it. They were things from the Scripture from it. They would read. Today, it's not out here. They're not doing it. It's not done. You know, the two Amish boys up here last week, you know, talking about tongues, got them filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues. And you know what? Because you just put some of the Word in them. What do? They go home and get one of their friends filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Well, see, it's not, faith comes by hearing. Faith don't come by telling stories. It's the Word. It's the Word. Hallelujah. Thank God for the Word. We should just be so excited about it. Knowing what it is. And you take a person the Word. If you take them to the Word, then the Holy Spirit can bring faith to them through the Word. But if you just tell them, you just need this. You know, well, why do I need it? Well, I tell you, God, you need to fill the Holy Ghost and that stuff. You can do signs and wonders. And they don't know the Word if they're supposed to do that or not. See, you're saying, sounds exciting. You know, it would be no different taking God here to a superhero movie and watching him say, yeah, you know, you put them tights on, you can do it too. You know, the guy's sitting there looking at you. What makes you think that? Well, you say, they're going to look at you. What makes you think? Tell me. God can bring faith to them. Faith is power. When the Word, the light of the Word comes on, they can see something they never saw before. They don't see it because you got a story. They see it because God lights His Word up and they get to see. I mean, all the years that I walked, 30 years walked around, I had little glimmers of the Word that I knew. But you know, when the light of the Word came to me, changed everything. When I got born again, see, the light of the Word came to me and I got born again. And everything changed. The light got turned on. Every time, so I began to listen to teaching. The more I listened, the brighter the light got, the stronger my faith grew. And I'll tell you this, the more my faith grew, the light got brighter. See, you could sit and listen to teaching, but not really grow in faith. And the light will be on a little bit. And it's, oh, it's good, it's nice, you know, you see something. But you'll never get great light. Your faith will never come to the point where you'll say, man, my God, we're going to do that. Hallelujah, I'm going to walk in that. I have never struggled to have faith. I have struggled sometimes to put my flesh under and put it to work. But I'm going to tell you, faith will come. It's whether or not I'm going to take a hold of it and I'm going to put it to work. A faith that comes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But I never struggle to get faith. When the light of the Word comes, faith automatically comes. It's there. Hallelujah. I see it. I just decide whether I'm going to receive it, walk in the light, and walk in that light. Sometimes it takes a while to walk in the light, you know. This is why we're on this side. We're dealing with our flesh over on this side. I'm going to tell you what. I personally believe that's the mirror that Paul was talking about. This, you know, the Bible used to turn the Old Testament talk about the veil. And in the New Testament, they talk about the veil of the flesh. See, the flesh is like a veil. And it can keep your inner man from seeing as far as it wants to see. This is why when we get the new body, I'm going to tell you what, it's going to blow our socks off. I'm going to tell you what. When it's the new heaven and the new earth, I'm going to tell you, I cannot imagine what things are going to be like. There's nothing on this side that we can have that could compare to that glory. It's going to be the most phenomenal thing. Amen. There's going to be nothing of darkness to hinder anything of seeing the light of God. I mean, all that He is, and the light's on us. I can't imagine just dying and going to heaven. I mean, just getting this stupid suit off of me. Oh, and we struggle with this stupid body, trying to pamper it, make it do things. And, you know, dear Lord. See, that's why I don't understand people struggle about health. The whole thing God gave us faith to deal with our health things and that stuff should be the easiest darn thing to do. I mean, we put up with enough trying to get it so light can shine through and we can see. And we turn around and do all this struggling. We're struggling over what we should never be. We take the natural and we make it amplified as it's the big thing. No, it's the glory that's in you. You're the temple of God. You're full of glory. You're full of light. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. You're full of light today. This glass we have gets a little foggy, don't it? Do you ever come to the place that you knew? If I could just get what's in me out. You know it's there. You get glimpses of light sometimes. Like sometimes I think, man, if I could just get beyond this, this light shining here, but it's got to get out further. It's just, you just know it. See, What we do is we're spending all the time trying to get this flesh to keep it over here in the natural of things. God gave us the Holy Ghost. We're supposed to be able to subdue this flesh. Why? So the glory shines. It's so the glory. So is God holding back healing? Is God holding back things? Is God holding back the things that we go through, having problems bringing our flesh under about? If He's holding back, that would be totally stupid, because His light can't shine through. I mean, that'd be dumb. You're the temple. We're not like the temple. The Old Testament had a veil in front of it. Why? Dead men would die if they tried to go through. And I'm talking about dead spiritually people. We are such glorious beings that we can actually have the Holy Ghost live in us. Only one person was ever allowed to go back in that back room where God's presence was. One person. And he had to go through all these cleansings, washings and that stuff and things. And nobody could touch him to go back. No humans could touch him to walk back there. Tied a rope around his leg, because no matter how good he was, there was always the fear we may have made a mistake.
Yep, that's right.
And you know what? I got born again, Mr. Mistake, and God moved him. There's no veil.
Yes.
Our veil problem is the flesh. Oh, one day this is going to be off. It's going to be glory. It's our flesh. You think of your flesh as being the veil instead of it's so darn important. You can find out this flesh, you can bring it under submission pretty darn easy on things.
Amen.
But see, we amplify the outer man. See, I went to church as a kid. That's all they did was amplify the outer man. It was all works and do's and don'ts and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
They never emphasized the glory. I didn't know if they ever knew the glory in them, how much was really in them. They ever knew. They weren't taught it. If they would have known what was in them. You know, why would you chase after a nickel if you got $1 million in your hand? This is what the church does. They're chasing after their flesh worth a nickel, and they got $1 million in them. The glory's in him, and we're spending our time, this outer man, and say, outer man, sit down, shut up. The glory in me is great enough to bring this under the glory that's in me. This is what I got. I got glory in me. I'm not trying to get glory. We say, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Well, is there glory in you? Or those people say, well, Jesus is in me. What are we in a search of glory for? Can you get more glory in Jesus? Woo-wee! My God, we're the church.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
If we walk glorious, people are going to want to know why about the glory that's in. They're going to want to know why. Why? Why is there glory? Why is it? See, you can't do nothing but live different if you got the revelation God in you.
Amen.
It makes you live different. It will. You can't live the same. Really believing that's true. You wake up in the morning and, you know, God's in me. You know, Benny Hinn, remember the book he put out years ago? He called Good Morning, Holy Spirit. He'd get up in the morning and talk to the Holy Ghost. Good morning, Holy Spirit. What do you do in the morning? Well, I got a good American. Well, you just set the mood for your day, which is probably going to be unspiritual. Just probably get mad at everybody else around you that's doing something that don't make you happy. Instead of wake up in the morning, my God, the Holy Ghost has been all night up waiting for me to get up. Woo! Hallelujah! He's been wanting to talk to me. I bet he had a lot of good things he was thinking about. Boy, I could tell Ed some things today. He needs to be told some things. Anyhow. But see, living like that's true. You see, those books were written. You know what people did? That was Benny Hinn. God write that books for us. And we thought it was for Benny Hinn. Talk about his grace. No. The teacher teaches so you can have it. If it's only for the teacher, why teach it? There's no point. No point. Hallelujah. There's not a different... Benny Hinn didn't have a different Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. The Holy Ghost... If you got up in the morning and said, good morning, Holy Spirit, don't be surprised. He says, good morning to you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. At night, my body goes to sleep, but my spirit never sleeps, nor slumbers. Never sleeps, nor slumbers. I can wake up in the morning sometimes, and during the night, I have things that all of a sudden I'm conscious of that during the night was going on in me. I have consciousness of it. My spirit don't sleep as my body needs sleep. But your spirit don't. Hallelujah. You're full of the life of God. Father, I just want to say thank you today. Thank you, Lord God, for being so gracious to us. You're just so wonderful. Lord, there's nobody gaining knowledge and understanding on our brilliance. It's your brilliance that shines into us and turns the light on it we can see. And Lord, I just appreciate my Master Jesus, who's the Word. And Lord God, I want to thank you that the glorious living Word of God became words on a page for us that we can read and see. It's phenomenal. And then the Holy Ghost, Lord, you gave us the Spirit that turns it back into that life-giving light in us. It is amazing what you do. Hallelujah. Lord, you took a process that is so simple in its working. And Lord God, I can imagine for Abraham, when the day came when Abraham, Jesus Christ, died and rose from the dead, and he saw the light of what was shown to him dimly over on his side. Oh, I bet Abraham said, oh, if I could just live in that day, come to the earth and live and walk in the day where Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord, we're on the most glorious page. We're on this side out here to walk in this place that men have become temples of God. What a phenomenal thing. Lord, all that you did because of love. You didn't do it because we were good or nice or anything. You did it all because of love. And Lord God, your love hasn't failed. It hasn't failed. Your love gave man so dynamic. Lord God, hallelujah, it sure did. You know, you look at getting in us profited you. Lord, I just keep thinking I got the best in the deal. But you loved us so much you wanted us. Hallelujah. We are what you were looking for. We were your treasure. It's amazing to me. Hallelujah. How wonderful you are. And I just want to say thank you. Lord God, Lord, that this life revelation of you in us, you working in us, the manifestations of your glory, Lord, that we want to be able to take this thing to people and show them. We want Christians to know that the glory of Christ Jesus in them can shine out through them. Hallelujah. That we're not just all the good stuff quit. No, Lord God, we haven't even walked in. Lord, it's been prophesied so many times and over the times, and you've revealed to so many people that this last day move of God's going to be the greatest. So ain't nobody saw the greatest yet that could take place in this earth under this dimly lit glass. So we're going to see a little bit brighter, hallelujah, before we leave. Because, Lord, when we leave, the light we're going to step into. Oh, my. When the veil of the glass is completely removed, and then face to face. Oh, my. Face to face with the one who loved us, who gave everything for us. Wow. What a Lord. Hallelujah. It's incredible. It's going to be a wonderful day, Jesus. We get to look on you. And I look on you, and it isn't leaving again. It's to live with you. Amen. Hallelujah. What a wonderful, wonderful time. I thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord God, that we share with others this wonderful glory. Hallelujah. Oh, that Jesus Christ will save you, and He'll fill you with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And you'll be a dynamo for Him. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.